What an awesome piece of scripture this morning. Well, it's my honor and privilege to speak to a wide range of age groups here today, and I hope I'm going to do the scripture and the topic justice. Let's just pray together. Lord, thank you for everyone who's here this morning. I believe you've handpicked every single person, whatever our age is, Lord, to be here this morning. You want to come and work and move in our lives. So we open ourselves to you. Lord, come and speak to us this morning. Come and inspire us. Come and change us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we start a new season this morning called Keep Going. I don't know about you, but there's certain things in life. Can we take this slightly down, please? There's certain things in life where we just got to keep going. You know, if you're on a fitness regime and you're out walking fast like some of us do, or running like some other people do, and you get a cramp or you get tired, there are times you just got to keep going. Anybody identify with that? I know towards the end of the school year, school pupils and students and school teachers feel we've just got to keep going. Anybody felt that way? I know the holidays have kind of fixed all of that up right now. If you're on a diet, you know, some of you like me on a seafood diet, whatever we see we eat. But you know, if you're really on a strict diet, you've got to keep going. Even when this chocolate fudge cake smothered with custard, clotted cream, and ice cream appears in front of you, we've just got to keep going with the diet. And it's the same in our Christian faith. There are times when we've just got to keep going, where things can seem so tough, where things just don't seem to make sense. We've got to keep going. So, I'm excited about this new season. I really believe that God's going to work in our lives, in your life, in my life, in the life of this church, supernaturally over this next season, as we look at keeping going. And you know, a lot has happened in many of our lives, from the youngest child year all the way to our most senior citizen year. A lot has happened. Sometimes people disappoint us. Sometimes people betray us. Sometimes people hurt us. At school, a friend may say something about you at break time, during your lunch time, and it really breaks you. It hurts you. Someone's just having a bad day, and they say something bad to you, and it kind of puts you in a corner, and you begin to believe that thing about yourself. So over the next season, I believe that God's going to release people from stuff that has been spoken over them that's just not of God. Over this next season, I believe God's going to help people forgive. That's a big one, isn't it? Forgiveness is a process. But you've got to start the process. I'm not going to preach on that this morning. In this season, I believe people are going to be set free from a victim mentality. I believe people are going to be taking responsibility for their actions. Because it's easy to be a victim and say, poor me, 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 me. But there's actions you are doing which is in turn hurting others. And in this season of keeping going, if this church is to keep going, if we are to keep going, we've got to take responsibility for the things we do and the things we say. The word of God is clear that God is not mocked. What we sow, we will reap. And God won't be mocked. Whatever we sow into people's lives, the good things and the bad things, we reap throughout the generations of our lives. And God's going to be sorting that out so that we can keep going. Isn't that great? I believe that God's going to bring healing in parent-child relationships. I believe God's going to bring healing between siblings. I believe God's going to bring healing in marriages, in friendships. And God's going to do an amazing thing in our next season. So you're going to want to be here Sunday after Sunday over the next few weeks. My topic today in keeping going is sticks and stones. You've heard that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You believe that? Not a chance. You know, oh, I'm just being truthful. I'm going to tell you what I think about you. It's all in truth. We speak the truth in love. It's amazing. And when God's love underpins and is infused with truth, it brings transformation. We've all had people say things to us that has hurt us. People who don't even know you have made up their minds about you. Have you noticed? It's interesting. I love watching people. I love working with people. And I notice, I've told you about my supermarket basket in the past where people meet me in the supermarket, you know, not because you have a meeting in the supermarket, because you have a clash in the ice cream aisle, you know, and they don't look at me, they look into my basket. You know, what's the pastor eating for dinner? I also have to eat. I'm a human being. Or the way you dressed. You know, people look you up and down, and decide, are you good enough to talk to or not? Or are you good enough to do business with? My first pension fund I ever bought, two brokers came to see me. And my secretary said to me, be looking out over the car park, the church car park, and whoever comes in the best car, go with that. Labeled the person. So my first appointment, rocked up in a new Mercedes-Benz C-Class, sports AMG, beautiful suit. And he had the gift of the gab. It was just so smooth. I was going to retire a millionaire. Seriously. In South African rands. And the other guy came in a car with rust holes in it. But I knew his story. I knew that he had given up a job which paid him very well. He was a family man. Given up a job which paid him very well because he believed God said to him the job wasn't glorifying God. It was bad for his testimony. God looks at the heart. One guess who I took to for my pension policy. Yeah, the guy who came with holes in his car, big rust holes. Because God looks at the heart. And folks, the scripture we looked at this morning is that the Lord does a new thing in our lives. Just go to that scripture on the screen, please. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Look at what the New Living Translation says. Anyone who belongs to Jesus or belongs to Christ has become a new person. What's happened to the old? The old is gone. Isn't it amazing? So he could have messed up. He could have been put on the red at school. Sat 4,000 detentions throughout secondary school. I don't know if that's possible, but anyway, just go with me on this. But when Jesus comes into our lives, it's not about us. It's not about where we've come from in life. Jesus doesn't look at our financial records and decide, right, you are smartly enough dressed, you drive the right car, and you have the right bank balance. Welcome. No. It's based on Jesus. And the old has gone. All that stuff we're not proud of. The lies we've told. Cheating on a test. Please never do that. Being nasty to a friend. When Jesus is in us, that's gone. And what has begun? A new life. You know what? People label us. What's one of the first things people do when they label us? They give us a name. We go to my first point there this morning. People give us a name. They name us something. You stinky person. You smell. I'm trying to make it all age here, so you know, humor me. Have you ever been labeled not good enough? Anybody here? You don't have to put your hand up. I have. It's horrible. People don't even know you. They put you in a box and they emit this rejection vibe. So I'm going to go to my high school days. So in South Africa, forgive me for talking about South Africa, it's where I come from, so I can't talk about growing up in England because I didn't grow up here. I grew up in South Africa. And when we went off to secondary school, which we called high school, we went when we were 13 years old. So you're a little bit older, and we went from 13 to 18, and both in primary school and high school, you either passed or you failed every year. So I had a friend in reception, and he failed reception. I mean, how do you get that right? I mean, think about the label on that guy's life. And there was a guy, not in my class, but another class in matric, which was standard 10, which is year 12 now, who was 21 at the time. He just kept on failing. So it was standard 6, my first year of high school, 13 years old, all cool and everything, spiky head, star, the whole thing. And I went home on my bicycle, sobbing my eyes out, uncontrollably. You know that one of those times you cry and you just don't care what anybody thinks about you? You're going to just cry, and you're going to just let it all out. It's a good thing to try. I once heard a psychologist talk, and the psychologist said this: why is it that when our kids laugh, we encourage them to laugh, but when they cry, we encourage them to keep quiet? He said, encourage them to cry. He said, let it all out. Just cry. I've tried it. You should try it. It's fantastic. You'll all end up crying. It's very good for you. It's called emotional catharsis. Okay. If you don't know what that is, look it up. So, home crying. You see, the head of English department had called me in that day. There was a play writing competition in the school. I'd written my own play. I'd already typecasted it. It already began rehearsals. The music was already in place. The lighting design was in place. And she called me in. I'll never forget it. And she said, look, it's in 2 weeks' time, I know, but it's not good enough. It's not original enough. No, I'm not good enough. No, I'm not original enough. It's not creative enough. It's too much like an Agatha Christie. Pulled it out. You're no longer doing it. I went home. I was in. 13-year-old boys don't cry. You know that. I went home. I was inconsolable. A few days before this big competition, the head of the English department called me in again and said, look, she's reviewed my play and could I please submit it? So I said to her, what's now the difference? I said, so she said, well, let me tell you what really happened. At that stage, there were no standard 10 matric entrants, or not enough, not enough. And she said, I couldn't have a standard 6 13-year-old boy win the competition. But now you do have some healthy competition. You may enter. I just said to her, forget it. I never wrote a play again in my life, but there is a good end of the story. But a name. The name I found then was not good enough, not creative, a loser. I really felt like a loser. But when Jesus comes into our life, he makes all things new. And that's an awesome scripture there in the Old Testament, Isaiah 62:2. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. So the Lord was about to restore Israel. They were in a place of brokenness, a place of destitution. They were the laughing stock of the nations around them. And the Lord said, hang on. You're no longer the laughing stock. You're no longer not good enough. You no longer don't make the grade, because I'm going to call you a new name. I'm going to bestow upon you a new name. And the root thought here is this: that the altered state is embodied in a new name. Their altered state was embodied in the new name, Israel. Can we think of anyone in the Bible who God changed their name, was given a new name? Anybody think of anyone? Yes, Ruby. Abraham. He went from Abraham to Abraham. Father of many nations. That was one of my things I put down in my notes. Good job. I don't have to preach on that now. Anybody else? Name change. Simon Peter. That's my second point. We don't have to preach it this morning. Amazing. Anybody else? Saul, Paul, Jacob, a heel grabber, a swindler. He had a heel grabbing spirit. I'll grab what's yours and make it mine. Not a very nice spirit. But God changed his name to Israel. How amazing is that? What about Gideon in Judges chapter 6? He was a man afraid. You know the story. He's hiding away in something like a cave from his enemies. And God sends an angel to this afraid man hiding. I mean, imagine that. I mean, imagine being at school and you're hiding away in the bathrooms at the school because you're afraid of someone on the playground. And God sends an angel. Wow. That's what he did for Gideon. And the angel says, "You're a mighty person of valor." In other words, you're very brave. Wow. Who, me? Brave? Not me. God gives you a new name. Others may have called you not good enough. But God calls you a child of God. Can you say, "I'm a child of God"? I'm a child of God. Isn't that amazing? So next time somebody calls you a name which you are not, think about what God says about you. Think about what God says about you. He loves you and He reckons you are amazing. You may feel unworthy to get a new name. I know, I do. But maybe we need to realize that maybe we're not there yet, but we are growing into our new name. Anybody going to join me in that process? We're going to grow into the name the Lord calls us. So sticks and stones may break our bones, but names will never hurt us. Maybe the names people have called you have defined you. Allow Jesus to define you. Secondly, you can have a new purpose. Isn't that great? You can have a new purpose. People like to speak over other people's lives, don't they? "Oh, I see you becoming this one day," or "I see you becoming that." Or, "With your qualifications, you can really do great. With your qualifications, well, what can you really do with that?" God's purposes outrules and outweighs everything else. Can anybody say a good amen to that? And one of my favorite examples is the example Mary mentioned this morning of Simon. Simon in the Bible. The guy who denied Jesus. Not once, but three times. "I don't know him." "Me know him? No, 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 not me. No, I don't." Can you imagine doing that? He did it. I mean, what kind of friend would you call him? Unpredictable, unreliable, undependable, wishy-washy. Get your thesaurus out and carry on. But Jesus called him a world changer. And if we have a look at Matthew 16, 13 to 19 on the screen, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So Jesus even had a name calling issue. They were calling him all the wrong names. So if people call you the wrong thing, you know, chill out about it. Jesus went through the same thing. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on earth. Fast forwarding that little bit to crucifixion day. Did Peter look like a guy with a purpose of being a rock on which the church was going to be built? Did he look like the guy who had the keys of the kingdom of heaven? All of us have failed. All of us do not qualify to live out God's purposes within our lives. But God can give you a new purpose. Peter became a rock. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he led 3,000 people to Jesus on the day of Pentecost. In fact, church tradition tells us that at the end of Peter's life, they were going to crucify him. And he refused, he loved Jesus so much, he refused to be crucified the same way Jesus was crucified. He said, crucify me upside down. He became a rock, his purpose. You know, when you were a child, an adult may have spoken something over you and you've held it in your heart, in your purpose, and it's been a barrier, a blockage. They've tried to define you, tried to hedge you in. They haven't seen what God sees in you. Others saw David as a shepherd boy, and when God looked at David, and everybody thought he was the shepherd boy, and his own father didn't call him in the lineup, God saw a king. Isn't that awesome? Don't let the past labels define you. Don't let others name you. And lastly, you can have a new future. Through the power of Christ, you'll have a new future. I know a lot of people are pessimistic about the future. You know, we get these glass half empty people and a glass half full. I don't know which type you are. But some people, oh, my life is never going to go anywhere. I'm never going to make it. Oh, I'll never be able to play the piano. Why is my mum making me practice so much? I'll never be able to read. We had a recent story of a young child giving their life to Jesus within the influence of this church. I was given a Bible, struggling with reading at school. Day one, receiving the Bible, read 50 pages. Okay, that doesn't excite you, just go home, okay? I mean, in Jesus, you can have a new future. Wow. I'm never going to get out of debt, you may say. I'm always going to be miserable. I'm never going to get rid of these headaches. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This was written to the prophets, the elders, and the people of Israel who were taken off into Babylonian captivity. They couldn't see a bright future for themselves. They were captives. Yet God says, I have a future for you. You've got to do something. It's conditional. Verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Can you say that? Seek God with all my heart. Seek God with all my heart. Wasn't that what the worship was all about this morning? Wow. Wow. From the youngest person here, all the way through to our most senior veteran, decorated person here. We get into God's future when we seek Him with all our heart. Who can do that? Anyone who's a new creation. Not an age thing. Not a class thing. It's anyone. And I don't know about you, I'm an anyone. An anyone. We seek Him with all our heart. Look, I've got to come into a land. I want to close with something biblical. Before I close with something biblical, biblical illustration. So I started off with a sad story about myself, so please don't feel sorry for me. I can't stand it when people feel sorry for me. You know, there's much better emotions in life than feeling sorry. We be victorious in Jesus' name. So it was Bible school days. I was in Bible school, and the Lord inspired me to write a drama. Or a play, actually. And one day, the principal called me in. I thought, I can see where this one's going. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be cut. The director's cut. And he called me and he said, look, actually, I'm not going to let you do it. He said, you could leave Bible school right now. I've got so many bookings from the play, from the previews that have been watched. Like, you could be booked out for Sundays for the next few years in all the churches that make sense. And it was a play about how God created people, all the music and all the lighting and everything that we created. And how the enemy gets hold of our lives and how he sets us. Jesus comes and sets us free and makes us a beautiful new creation. And Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, as the college drama team went from church to church, people all over got saved. I thank God that he just stopped me in standing six. Because now I had a new name. Now I had a new purpose. Now I had a new future. My life was to not write my plays, but do something for the glory of the kingdom. And it brings me to my closing illustration. A person whose future in the Bible didn't look very good. She's mentioned 8 times in the Bible, and 6 of those 8 times there's a negative label on her. I mean, how nice is that? Probably guessed her name. Rahab. Now, her label was true. She was a woman of ill repute. I'm trying to keep it all age, as you can see. And sometimes the labels on us are true. And we've got to deal with it. Sometimes a person is evil. Sometimes a person is a liar. Sometimes a person is a cheat. But it's because they don't have the new creation that God has done in them. They're not in Christ. When we're in Christ, those things go. We become new. So Rahab knew who she was, a woman of ill repute. The Bible mentions what she was quite clearly 6 times. And in those days, you've got different classes of that kind of thing. And she apparently, according to biblical scholars, was on the lowest rung. There was no hope for her ever to get married. There was no hope for her ever to experience true love in her life. But what does she do? She takes in 2 Hebrew spies. And some Bible scholars reckon that in a way she foreshadowed what Christ would do in saving people's lives. And she got a life sorted out. And she married a godly man called Salmon. And Jesus transformed her life, and she had a great marriage. And she had a son. And then her great, 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 that's 5 greats, great, 5 times, grandson. You know who he was? Jesus. Let that sink in. He has a new future. No matter where you come from, if you allow him to make you new, your new life has begun. The old has gone. And in conclusion, he has a new name. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say Rahab's name was changed. It wasn't. But I'm convinced in her heart of hearts, when she heard the name Rahab, she knew the new creation. She had a new purpose. And she had a new future. You know, names are important in some cultures. Some of the African cultures in South Africa, they believe that your name is so important that they name kids' names as a positive declaration over their lives, because every time someone says your name, it's declaring what you are. I mean, my name, Kevin, the Irish meaning, means beautiful at birth. So I hope I am still beautiful and it wasn't only at birth. But anyway, so there we go. But names are important. And his name, the name of Jesus, can be written on your heart. And have a new purpose and a new future. Let's pray together this morning. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We know that's not true. Refuse to listen to the negative, ungodly things that people have said about you that places a limit on you in God's plan. Maybe you just want to let go and forgive and just let go of whatever people have spoken out against you. They're probably ignorant, naive, having a bad day and they made it your bad life. And how selfish is that? Just let it go. Just give it to Jesus. And let Jesus call you by his name. You're chosen. You're a child of God. You've got a purpose. And you've got a future. Just let go. Just let go. Maybe you want to just agree with this prayer in your heart and say, Jesus, I let go of every limitation spoken out of. I just forgive all those people. Lord, forgive them. They didn't know what they were saying or doing. Forgive me, Lord, for believing a lie. Help me, Lord, realize that your name, Jesus, is now in my heart. That I have a purpose, a new purpose, and a new future. Set me free today. Your name. Help me live large for you, for your kingdom, fully for you. And if you prayed that prayer, I just want to pray God's blessing over you. Just slip up your hand as I prayed it this morning. Be real. Let the bondages break as you put up your hand. Let those chains break. Let those bondages break. Let every lie, let every deceit of the enemy, let every hurt, let every pain, let everything that has constrained you and kept you back be broken. I declare it broken in Jesus' name. And now, Holy Spirit, come and flood every life with your goodness, with the name of Jesus, with the purposes of God Almighty. Lord, what others have meant for harm, you can take and turn for the good of your kingdom. Thank you. And let your new future, let it be done today, in Jesus' name. If we could keep our eyes closed, please. The Lord is working. Just allow him to work. Don't allow the enemy to steal the seed from you. You know what it's like? Great seed has been planted. As you're leaving here today, someone will say something negative. Oh, well, I didn't think that was relevant. And it gets snatched. Don't listen to those irrelevant voices. They really are irrelevant. They're not of God. Listen to God's voice. Thank you, Jesus. Now, maybe you've slipped away from me. Through summer, and you know, you've got to just make that recommitment. Maybe you've never recommitted. It's a recommitment or a first time to Jesus. And you want to invite Jesus, either back again or for the first time, to be your best friend. Ask for every eye closed, please, every head bowed. This is a holy moment. This is life or death. This is kingdom stuff. We want to invite Jesus into your life for the first time. We want to invite him in again. We want to recommit, reconfirm, just to make sure. just pray this prayer after me in your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I believe in you. I know that you love me. Please forgive me, a sinner. Please forgive me, a sinner. And give me a new start. And give me a new start. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you died on the cross. And rose from the dead. To forgive me. And I invite you into my life. I invite you into my life. To be my friend. My best friend. You prayed that prayer either for the first time or it's a recommitment. I'm going to ask you to be really brave and just slip up your hand. It's just a public confession. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? You know, God's tugging. Jesus is tugging on those heartstrings. Just be obedient. Be brave. Be brave. Just say yes. That's me. Lord, I pray for every single person that has truly been a holy moment, who has put up their hand and also opened their hearts to you this morning. I pray that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit, keep them strong in you. Know they have your name, know they have your purpose, and let them know they have your future. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say, Amen.